Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. I don't know how Lent so far, second Sunday of Lent, is going for you all. But for me, it's been a little bit of a struggle having Easter this late in the year, so a late Lent. It's been a little difficult to maintain a penitential type attitude and disposition when we have some of the most beautiful weather of our year here in Phoenix. There's spring training. It's St. Patrick's Day today, obviously. The Italians have their day in 48 hours, St. Joseph's Day. So there's a lot to kind of distract us. So it's important to stay focused because we still have a long way to go. And if you remember, there are three pillars of Lent. Fasting, which I'm sure most of you, hopefully all of you, participated in on Ash Wednesday. Almsgiving, and if you have not done that yet, you will have the opportunity about 10 or 15 minutes again to participate in almsgiving. And lastly, prayer. And I think prayer is the one that is most difficult for us to do, because I think some of us don't know what to do. What does it mean to pray? How do we pray? Sometimes it can be such a daunting task. But if we see throughout the scriptures today, prayer is the essence of our relationship with God. If you listen to read the catechism, what it says is that prayer elevates the mind and the heart to God. So there's many different forms of prayer. But having that relationship is essential. Because as we heard, when that cloud came down and enveloped them in darkness, they were fearful. But what did that voice say? "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Those three words, I think, are the most important words in all of Scripture. Because while we tend to complicate everything in our lives, our relationships, our family structures, our finances, our politics, the church. If we just listen to him, it simplifies everything. It's that obedience to him. While we may not understand, it's accepting it and willing to go forward with it. So how do we listen to him? How does that become a reality for us today? And it's through prayer. It's that constant invitation to set time aside for the Father, for the Son, for the Holy Spirit. And again, we saw that so importantly today in the scriptures. And St. Paul in the second reading, he says, set your mind on things beyond, not on earthly things. Because when we set our mind on earthly things, the cross becomes a distraction. Abram, who is to become Abraham later in the scriptures, the covenant that he established with God, he didn't understand it, but he had faith. He had that relationship. And then we hear in the Gospel of the Transfiguration today, what it was Jesus doing? He was praying. When was the splendor, the glory of the Father revealed? When he was in relationship with his Father. That changed him. We have to understand what was happening in the scriptures preceding this reading of this gospel story. He had just predicted his passion maybe 5 to 7 days earlier from this event. Peter, he had asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. And he says, and Jesus told him, you are the rock. On you the church will be built, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. And now, he takes time to go up to the mountain with them and to pray. And there he reveals his glory to them. Why? Because they're going to see the scandal of crucifixion. They're going to see his death on the cross. There's no other worse form of punishment at that time than crucifixion. And their Messiah, their king, was going to be crucified innocently. They were going to see his passion. They were going to see difficult times. So he gave them a glimpse of his glory, the glory of the Father, a glimpse of the glory of the resurrection here on earth to sustain them, to give them hope. That's why it's also explained to us. That's why this story is shared for us today. Because when we have a covenant with God, when we're baptized, we too, when we decide to take up the cross and become Christians, to be like Christ, it's not easy. We will be persecuted. There will be scandal. There will be difficulties in our lives. There will be illnesses. Things will happen to us. But we can never forget to keep our mind not on earthly things, but on the resurrection. Because we are not citizens of earth, as St. Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. So how do we do this practically? So I want you to close your eyes for a few minutes. I know it's early in the morning still, so don't fall asleep on me. Bear with me. We're going to do a few minutes of an imaginative prayer advocated by St. Ignatius of Loyola. So picture yourself in the parking lot on Camelback, on the foot of Camelback Mountain. You're ready for an early morning hike. You're there with friends, family, children. Maybe you're by yourself. And you see a man coming forward towards you. It appears to be Jesus. So you start conversing. And he decides to go up Camelback Mountain with you. You're talking. You're sharing memories. You're telling him difficulties, whatever difficulties you're having in your life. You're giving it to him. You finally make it to the top. He invites you all to sit down and to pray with him, to share your heart and your mind with him. And it's a warm afternoon now when you might finally make it to the top. You fall asleep. You're resting. Jesus goes forward, and you hear noise. You can barely open your eyes because there's such brightness emanating from him. His clothes appear dazzling white. You think he's smiling, you're not sure, because he has so much brightness and glory shining from him. You put your sunglasses on, and you see him. It's like a joy and peace you have never seen before. Then he comes towards you, and you start to walk down the hill. What did he give you? What did he leave you with? You can open your eyes. That there is a form of prayer. It doesn't take rote memorization or saying just words. It's calling you into relationship with him. That's what he wants. He wants to be in relationship with us. That's why he's not distant. That's why he was sent down. If that doesn't work for you, remember the three R's: to remember, to read, and to reflect. Another form of prayer. Most importantly, remember that you are a child of God, that you have a covenant with him by virtue of your baptism. And read some spiritual reading, whether it be the gospel reading, some scripture, a book. Do some spiritual reading, 15 minutes, and then reflect. What is God asking you to do with it? How is he moving you? What does he want you to change? Or maybe he just wants you to listen to him. This isn't easy, this type of surrender. I share this quote with you. The love of God and his fear grew in me more and more, as did the faith. And my soul was roused so that in a single day, I have said as many as 100 prayers, and in the night, nearly the same. I prayed in the woods and on the mountain, even before dawn. I felt no hurt from the snow or ice or the rain. Anyone know who said that? St. Patrick. St. Patrick. He wasn't Irish, by the way, in case you did not know. But he was sold at the age of 16 with not a strong faith as a slave to the pagans in Ireland. But what sustained him was prayer. Allowed him to escape, to go back to Scotland, and then to continue listening to God's call to be back to Ireland, to convert them, to change your heart. The same people that had hurt him, that imprisoned him, he came back to share the mercy and love of God. Think of what we can do by just listening to him.